The MWA and ASCAP are being used to test the new types of radio receivers that the SKA will use. Placing them on a site which is very close to where the SKA will be built also tests whether that site is as good in practice as it looks on paper. I have to say the first results that I've seen from both the Australian and South African sites are incredibly impressive. In the absence of mobile phones and television transmitters, these are sites where the background noise becomes significantly worse whenever communication satellites are overhead. But the precursor instruments are also genuinely useful scientific instruments. Their initial findings will help astronomers to get a feel for what the SKA will be able to see and will help them optimise its designs around the objects which it is likely to see. An area of particular interest is radio sources which rapidly change in brightness, so-called transients. Until now, their variability has often gone unnoticed because small radio telescopes have had to add up the light from faint objects over long periods in order to see them at all. If they vary on very short timescales, this is averaged out in the long exposure image that radio telescopes have taken. With very sensitive instruments, however, it's possible to detect faint objects in much shorter exposures and pick up variability that may previously have gone unnoticed. Kirsten spoke to Martin Bell from the ARC Centre of Excellence for All Sky Astrophysics, who worked with the MWA.
Part of my job at the moment is to commission this instrument and get it ready, but part of that is also trying to produce early science. We develop a software to search for objects in the sky that have dramatically changed in brightness, which is indicative of highly energetic events happening in the universe. And so far we know very little about these types of objects, and a sort of next generation of instruments that are coming online, such as ASCAP, the Australian Square Kilometre Array Pathfinder, which is co-located on the site with the Murchison Wide Field Array, will really help us solve, understand these objects, find more of these objects, and understand the physics behind them.
So what are the other science goals of the MWA?
So the MWA is a very broad reach. It's a very wide field instrument, which means that it can study hugely vast amounts of the sky in one image, if you like. So it lends itself very easily to doing large survey work that's cataloguing and understanding bright objects in a low frequency sky. The low frequencies, well, there's not very much understood about them, and they've historically been studied, but not in recent years have we been making images of the sky at these wavelengths. So just even producing surveys will be a fantastic achievement, science goals. Other science teams include transients ourselves, pulsars, studying extremely fastly rotating objects in the universe. There's also a team called the Epoch of Reionization, who are looking for signals, radio waves from the extremely early universe, and the survey science teams as well. And there's also a large interest in solar science, because with this instrument it's very difficult to observe during the day because the sun is so bright, but that means that we can take some fantastic observations of the sun.
So I understand this is your first trip to the Murchison Radio Astronomy Observatory. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. It's very remote. I expected it to be, I don't know why I could have looked it up on the map, but I expected it to be a little bit closer to civilization. But that's the point in putting it out here. It needs to be away from radio traffic, from mobile phones and all the rest of it. But yeah, it looks like Mars.